Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I'm one of the ministers in the Ipswich Methodist Circuit, and I bring you a warm welcome this morning. It's great to have you worshipping with us today. Our preacher is Reverend Mike Cassidy, and he's one of the supernumerary ministers living in our circuit, and his topic today is authority, and he has entitled his sermon, Authority, A Vaccine or a Washington Nightmare. Mike's going to ponder the question, is it possible to navigate a healthy Christian journey through life with everyone else and spot its allergies, viruses and disorders while still responding as healers? A thought-provoking question indeed. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Please join me now in our call to worship. Your parts will be on the screen in white. As people, as a group, as a community of faith, we gather in this virtual space to listen, to speak, to worship, to pray, to be with God. Because we know it is out of God's authority and love that we live. Our opening hymn is a song called Welcome, as we dream and think together about the many groups of people that Jesus ministered to and calls us to be in fellowship with.
Let's walk together for a while and ask where we begin. To build a world where love can grow and hope can enter in. To be the hands of healing and to plant the seeds of peace. Singing to this place, you're invited to come and know God's grace. All are welcome, the love of God to share, cause all of us are welcome here, all are welcome in this place. Let's talk together of a time when we will share a feast, where pride and power kneel to serve the lonely and the least. And joy will set the table as we join our hands to pray, singing welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace. All are welcome, the love of God to share, cause all of us are welcome here, all are welcome in this place. Let's dream together of the day when earth and heaven are one, a city built of love and light, the new Jerusalem, where our mourning turns to dancing, every creature lifts its voice, crying welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace. All are welcome, the love of God to share, cause all of us are welcome here, all are welcome in this place.
Let us come before God now in prayer, and I'm using the words of Cheryl Laurie. God, we thank you for this extraordinary world and its reminders of resilience, grace, hope, and life. For when grass shoots break through concrete, for when the sun emerges after storms, for when people offer laughter in deep sadness. In these moments, we see glimpses of who you are, and we are grateful. Yet if we reduce you to being like the cycle of nature or the best of humankind, we diminish your power to make the impossible real, to break apart the impenetrable evils of oppression, to cast out the very real fears that paralyze us, to banish the insidious demons of judgment and worthlessness. Forgive us, God, when we do not trust you to deal with the unspeakable awfulness in our lives and our world. Into the silence, we name the parts of our lives and our world that we believe are too broken to ever be made whole. Forgive us when we contribute to the brokenness of the world and the lives of people around us. In the silence, we name the things we have done that separate us from you and from others. Forgive us when we trust darkness more than we trust your light. In the silence, we name the things we think we need to keep hidden. Cast out our demons, Lord, and make us new again. Amen. Scripture says that those who are in Christ are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, the new has come. Hear then Christ's word of grace to us. In the name of Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Reading our scripture today is Kath Calversbert. And Kath is one of the leaders on the Museum Street leadership team, and she's responsible for learning and caring.
The reading is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Jesus drives out an impure spirit. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
I want to start by saying something about two globally important events that happened this month, and then link them to the personal implications of the word authority as it appears in today's gospel passage. The rolling out of the globally vital suite of vaccines against COVID-19 is a phenomenal achievement by and for humankind, given that the authority to use them has been granted by various governments around the world in a fraction of the time it has always taken in the past. Because of the authority behind those vaccines, This phenomenon opens up a real way for the world to be set free from the tyranny of a tiny virus. A virus that has brought national economies to their knees. A virus that has taken and will continue to take the lives of so, so many people and threatens the ongoing quality of the lives of so many more. Now, whilst those liberating vaccines were being rolled out, the world witnessed a one-time unthinkable possibility as a sitting president of the United States of America incited a huge crowd of disgruntled people to march on Capitol Hill in Washington whilst the democratically elected government were in session. As I write this sermon, the ugly consequences of that American president's most recent speech are only now beginning to be comprehended in all their tyrannical nature. As I sit here making this recording, it is mid-January. Who knows what will have happened in the next 2 weeks before this sermon is finally broadcast? As we turn now to the gospel passage, the least we can say so far is that January 2021 has revealed emphatically how authority can be directed towards universal liberation or tyrannical division. Donald Trump will go down in history as a person of enormous authority whose rhetoric brought so much damage to people's lives. Even so, it is a sobering thing to be reminded that many, many Americans will have had an enthusiastic amen to much of what he said as the President of the United States of America. It has been properly pointed out that Donald Trump is not the cause of the divisions across the United States. Those divisions have been there since the slave trading era, and they have been growing sharper over a number of decades. President Trump, though, has used his authority as president to intensify the passions of people on both sides of the divisions. And at the heart of that rhetoric has been the ancient practice of name-calling. Through the awesome power of persistent name-calling, a person or a group can be so demonized that their destruction is seen as a good thing for all. Demonizing people through authoritative name-calling enables a nation of intelligent people to elect an Adolf Hitler to ultimate national power and faithfully follow him to the gates of hell. Demonizing people through authoritative name-calling enables a large group of intelligent and decent people to deploy an atomic bomb on a city of defenseless and innocent elderly people and children. Authority can give the world a suite of vaccines for people without regard to who they are or who they vote for. Authority can also seek to stamp them out, believing they are nothing more than a virus themselves. Name calling, it isn't just a political weapon in the hands of governmental authorities. It has far-reaching effects at a social level in conversations between people like you and me. For example, hardly anyone thinks abortion is itself a good idea. But if you want to talk about abortion as, say, fertility control, you can send the argument one way. But if you start calling it the killing of unborn babies, you will swing it another way. All of us, we are all on the receiving end of name calling from time to time. At its worst, name calling can result in a life sentence for many people. Let me put a personal question to you. Are you a loser? Are you an undesirable? a reject? Have you been named unemployable, incurable, a threat, a bad influence? If you are still serving out such a life sentence, or I hope you've finally been set free, you will know the tyranny of it all. Well, the society into which Jesus came was similarly controlled by the calling of names. And many of the significant actions of his ministry were over the making and the breaking of names. Today's gospel passage from Mark is the first recorded scene of Jesus' public ministry. It takes place in a synagogue, and it will be revealed that this is no accident in the way Mark tells his whole story. Mark will also have Jesus' ministry ending violently in another holy place, the temple in Jerusalem. The language Mark uses is carefully chosen. Jesus' public ministry begins with the cleansing of a man with an unclean spirit in a synagogue, which is a holy place. Jesus' public ministry will end with Jesus cleansing the temple, the most holy place, which according to Jesus has itself become corrupt and therefore unclean. So both at the beginning and throughout his ministry, right to the murderous end, Jesus will face this challenge. What authority do you have to challenge the system, to make holy what we call unclean, and to declare unclean what we call holy? What authority do you have? The authority question is partially answered by the people there in the synagogue. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and what the people comment on is that he teaches with authority, not like the religious experts they are used to. Curiously, though, Mark doesn't tell us anything on this occasion about what Jesus said to the people gathered there that day. Mark surely wants us to know, right at the beginning of his story, that Jesus' actions are an enactment of his teachings. Mark wants us to recognise that in this man Jesus is one who teaches people that they no longer need to be defined by those names that the religious, political and legal systems may have given them. That in the eyes of God, everyone is acceptable. Any system that creates and sustains the idea that certain people are deservedly accepted and others are deservedly excluded is nothing other than a huge demonic lie, which, as Jesus demonstrated and therefore taught, is a system of lies to be silenced and resisted. But that resistance is of a peculiar kind. Listen to what the so-called demon-possessed man screamed at Jesus. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? For the demons and for the guardians of any establishment that they have infested, the only way they know of resisting and controlling is to destroy people. So people are named as a threat, as unclean, as unworthy, and therefore their destruction can be fully justified. They don't count. But Jesus has not come and will not come to destroy anyone. He has come to liberate the oppressed and the oppressors. As his ministry unfolds, Jesus' unwillingness to reciprocate the violence and destroy his opponents is exactly what unmasks the desperate violence of such a system. When they crucify him who will not do violence, the extent of the corruption of their system is shown in all its naked brutality and futility. In the briefly worded synagogue encounter of today's gospel passage, the two main characters are Jesus and the man declared to be unclean and possessed of a demon. By the end of the encounter, the man is set free of all that previously defined him, and he remains amongst the people gathered that day. In Mark's first scene from the public ministry of Jesus, we are shown emphatically that it is not what anybody else says we are that defines who we are, especially in God's eyes. If you know yourself through the eyes of others, through the eyes of those who control the world in its violent ways, then you will be named and controlled by what you know of yourself there. But when you come to know yourself through the eyes of God and through the name that God gives you, you will be set free by it and given life beyond measure. I love the liturgy of the Holy Communion. When followers of Jesus gather around his table, I love it because of the weight of the words and the images therein. The first sentence of the first prayer calls out to God, from whom no secrets are hid. God knows you. That's not a threat. It is an assurance that you are known utterly. And you have your own unique place, a place of the highest privilege and honour, alongside God's people everywhere. Whenever we meet for the Holy Communion, it is made crystal clear that we are all there by way of invitation only. At the climax of it all, when we literally stand around the Lord's table, we are each there by personal invitation from one who knows us utterly. And to be sure you know that there is no violence in knowing you, he will place his life bodily in your hands, where you may reject him and collude with those who took him in hand and destroyed him. Or you may accept him completely into yourself and be one with him. Methodists love to sing Jesus, the name high over all, not least because it's a name that will never stop seeking liberation for all. A name that knows not violence except in the suffering of violence for the sake of life. Jesus of Nazareth is that name which perfectly makes visible that holiness which is the origin and destiny of us all.
Thank you, Mike, for your challenging message to us as we think about the ways that we demonize others and Jesus' message of acceptance and freedom for all. We're going to continue our service singing the song written by Charles Wesley that Mike referenced at the end of his sermon. It's number 357. Jesus, the name high over all, the name that angels revere and devils fear, the name that never stops seeking our liberation.
In heaven or above or sky, sinners dear, the name to sinners give. It scatters all the guilty fear, it turns the hell to heaven, turns the hell to hell. Jesus, the
I'd like to thank everyone who has participated in our worship today. Kath Calversburg for reading our scripture, Reverend Mike Cassidy for our message, our musicians Neil Heppelthwaite and Elizabeth Story, along with Adrian Pell, who also did the technical work. And it would be lovely to know that you are participating with us today. There's a form above this video, so just type in your name and location, click the red button, and we will know that you are worshipping here. Next week, Reverend Jane Cassidy will be our preacher, and she's preaching on healing, and she's called her sermon, A Time to Heal. So we come now, in the time of our worship, where we would normally offer ourselves to God, offering our time, our talent, and our treasure. So I encourage you to give your offerings to your local church, and as you do so, may Christ's heart rejoice and the needs of others be tended. Let us bow our heads in prayer. We offer these gifts to you, O God, as a sign of our commitment to your grace and authority. Bless what we have given and help us to be faithful in the use of all our resources, that we might live like those anticipating your kingdom. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our closing song has some beautiful lyrics written by Marty Haugen. It's number 409, Let's Build a House Where Love Can Dwell, where all can safely live, where all are named, and where the love of Christ can end divisions.
Let us build a house where love can dwell, and all can safely live. Children tell our hearts learn to forgive.
of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. In the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where prophets speak and words are strong and true. Children dare to seek to dream God's reign anew. Here the cross shall stand as witness and as symbol of God's grace. Here as one we claim the faith of Jesus. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where love is found in water, wine and wheat. A banquet hall on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Where the love of God through Jesus is revealed in time and space. As we share in Christ the feast that frees us, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone, to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bear the image of God's face. Let us bring an end to fear and danger. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Build a house where all our endless songs and visions dwell, and love and treasure taught and claimed as words within the world. Built of tears and cries and laughter, prayers of faith and songs of praise. Let this house proclaim from floor to laughter. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Go now, knowing that you are worthy in God's eyes. Go and use your authority wisely. And the blessing of God, who creates, redeems, and restores, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.